perhaps I'll start with a question. It says, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. Well, he was John speaking about those who lived at the same time as the Lord Jesus and witnessed the birth and the emergence of Christianity, or is he speaking about something else in terms of knowing him from the beginning? Fathers implying someone of age, someone of maturity, someone of time. We talked about when you looked at verse 1 of chapter 1, that which is from the beginning or the introduction of Christianity as what John is referring to here, the coming, the advent of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the ascension of Christ, brings in this whole new order. And that was from the beginning that we referred to. When he says here, I write to you fathers, is he talking to those who were contemporary, who were very familiar with the history of the times of Christ, or is it a metaphor for maturity in that they've known him in a way that is what granted them this position of maturity?
I would suggest it's the second one. And I go to Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and so forth. That was at one stage of his life. And then towards the end of his life in 2 Timothy, I believe this is the last letter he wrote, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. So there's, to me, there was a growth in Paul's relationship with the Lord Jesus. He really, by the end of his life, he could say that I know whom I've believed. He had a real mature knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I'm wondering that that would have a bearing with what we're talking about here. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, one of the key points is this word know. Mm-hmm. It occurs quite a bit in the passage. And it's knowledge that is not merely just the amassing of facts and information, but it's the experience. It's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And very, very often, we can know a lot about the Lord Jesus. We can know a lot about Christianity, but what brings maturity is as we grow in our knowledge of him. And so, from the beginning is truly from the beginning in terms of Christianity. Who is the author and the introducer of Christianity, the author and completer of faith is the Lord Jesus. Maturity is that these individuals who Paul writes to, they've walked with him. They've learned from him. They've gotten to know him. And so that's what produces maturity.
I just have a question for a little clarity. In verse 13, where it says, I ran into your father because you have known him. In King James, there's in italics, I know it's in italics, I said, him that is from the beginning. Is that correct, or should that be removed in a sense? I mean, that changes the tone of it from being, the length of time or, the period from which you've known him to the person himself who was from the beginning.
Yeah, I was going to ask, too, what translation you were looking at for him from the beginning. You've known him from the beginning. Several other translations have, although it's italicized, as you said, evidently there's some consistency in the thought that it's kind of implied that it's the him is the one who is from the beginning, which doesn't detract necessarily from what you said about the way to reach maturity, but it may be also emphasizing the fact that the one they've known is the one who is from the beginning, mm-hmm. Possibly not even the beginning of chapter 1, verse 1, but possibly even the beginning of John chapter 1, where it says that in the beginning was the Word, possibly that the Ancient of Days kind of aspect of this person might be implied here too. But the knowing, I think, is, as you said, the main point of that phrase, that they've known him. Not necessarily the beginning, but the knowing him part really is emphasized.
Well, I think the point, we can get to a point where we stumble ourselves over this point. But I think the real point for us is, where are we in our relationship with the Lord and our walk with the Lord? And what he's talking about here is those that are mature, those that are experienced in the relationship with the Lord. The interesting thing is in verse 13, and then down again, when he mentions them again, in verse 14, it stays the same. Nothing changes about what his address to the fathers. Emphasizing the fact that it's mature relationship, an intimate relationship, communion with the Lord that they're enjoying. And I think that's the real point that we want to get at, because we really want to get right down to the bottom of our relationship with the Lord and examine, and each one ask ourselves, where are we in our relationship with the Lord? Would we classify ourselves as babes in Christ, which is what the word little children means there in verse 13? Or would we classify ourselves as young men or as fathers? And the chances are, wherever we class ourselves, go lower.
Are there any other thoughts on that? I wanted to spend a little time just noticing that or thinking about that. Tim, you already mentioned that the phrase to fathers, the writing to fathers in verse 13, is really essentially repeated word for word in verse 14. Are there any other thoughts about why that is? Wouldn't there be something else to say to the fathers? Obviously, there isn't. All there is to say again what was mentioned. And Tim, you mentioned that it emphasizes the maturity of their relationship, that they really were enjoying that knowledge by experience of this one who was from the beginning. Are there any other thoughts on that for any of us, from any of us, about why there wouldn't be something else added to the fathers? How did the fathers reach this point where this was all that could be said, so to speak, and yet it's quite enough to just describe their enjoyment of that relationship?
Maybe it's because the fathers who had seen, most of the elders had seen, been there for the favor of Christ was actually there. So they have seen it, but the sons and then the children weren't there, so they're going strictly on faith, unseen faith. But the fathers have seen it, and that's, they've already based their faith on what they've seen.
Eyewitness accounts are certainly significant. Even to Peter, he himself mentioned that as an apostle and said that as their eyewitness accounts, that was significant.
I think the thought that I've always enjoyed with this portion is that if we look and see how much is greater for the fathers, as you mentioned, it's the least enough. And then the young men, it's a little bit more, and the children, it's the most. Mm-hmm. And the fathers are expected to know. Everything that was already taught to them as little children still applies. Everything that was taught to them as young men still applies. They're not expected to forget the things they learned when they were younger. But now as we get older and become fathers in the faith, a lot more is expected, but so much little is said because we've amassed a lot of experience throughout the years. And so that's why, and yet the most responsibility I think is placed on the fathers to be the examples of those that can help and instruct. But so much of it, so little is said because everything that is taught to us as children and as young men still applies, and we need to not forget them. And so and then the other thing with the fathers, I think it's in Corinth that they had thousands of instructors and not many fathers. And you can think about all the problems that they had there, and if the fathers actually performed their role as fathers, how much fewer problems they probably would have had. Not to be instructed. It's easy to just be instructed, but to be a father is a different kind of energy, a different kind of